Hello and welcome to this edition of the Golf Show Podcast with Rex and Lab. And Rex, you are clearly in some sort of forest. I'm just Josh, and you are clearly at the Tour Championship, the season-ending event on the PGA Tour schedule. If you win the Tour Championship, you win the FedEx Cup. More on that in a little bit. But Rex, in my opinion, Wednesday was all about the new PGA Tour CEO, Brian Rolup. It was not his introductory press conference. That came at the Travelers Championship, where you even had a one-on-one interview. But this was him, Brian Rolup, meeting with the media at large. He took questions for about 40 minutes at the Georgian in East Lake Clubhouse. What was your biggest takeaway?
I mean, beyond impressive. I think we had the same conversation after the Travelers Championship. But I will say all of the traits of a leader, they're vastly different than what we've experienced on the PGA Tour in the past. And this is not a knock against Jay Monahan or Tim Fincham, his two successors in the role as commissioner. It's just clearly he's going to come at this job much, much differently, and has everything to do with what it's in his DNA. Having come from the NFL, they do things a very specific way. They want to innovate. They want to change. He had a comment today about, in the NFL, every March, we made changes. And once you start thinking about it, they do. Every March, there's some sort of big rules change that we spend probably the next, or not we, but people in the sports media spend the next 2 months talking about getting ready for the season. They're not afraid of change. As a matter of fact, they embrace it. It seems like it's part of their culture. And it's obvious. I mean, to open up your first, essentially, this was his first full-size press conference, because at the Travelers Championship, it was a pretty limited footprint. To start your first with an announcement of a committee that in a different time, in a different era, probably wouldn't even have garnered a headline, but to do it in such a way that we are going to overhaul what the future of the competition looks like on the PGA Tour. And to be clear, that future of competition needs to come first, because then you start looking at the future of the business model. He sort of laid out exactly what he wants to happen with this. It's obvious that this isn't changed just for the sake of change, and it's not changed at the glacial pace that we're used to on the PGA Tour. This is a real significant change, and it's going to come quick.
I thought it was very fitting, Rex, that on Tuesday, the 2026 PGA Tour schedule was released. A day later, the new CEO of the PGA Tour comes up and basically says, don't get used to it. What you see on paper in 2026 is going to be blown up, and we are going to make this much, much better. He was not shy about the fact that there was some bloat on the PGA Tour schedule, and one of his chief initiatives is going to be simplicity and scarcity. Best players in the world together more often, but also making all of those events matter. We're certainly going to dig into that a little bit more. I go back to the Travelers in 2 months ago and sort of the vision that he didn't quite lay out with specifics, but I think generally that made a lot of people who love the PGA Tour really excited about what the future could look like. And he mentioned three things that he thinks could really be applicable from the NFL in his job when he was the second in command of the NFL under Roger Goodell. One is focusing on the competition. It was pretty clear in the remarks that he laid out on Wednesday that is going to be crucial. Making sure it is right, making sure each week matters, as we just touched on. Finding the right partners was another thing that he mentioned, and that's sort of down the road. The PGA Tour media rights deal, it expires after 2030. That's certainly going to be a point of emphasis over the next couple of years. But innovation, constantly changing for the better. And when you look at the NFL and what they do, yes, by and large, it's similar. You know, there's 17 games, there's 18 weeks. They might be adding an extra game, but they've sort of been kicking the can on that over the next couple of years. There's obviously some different constituencies are involved, but they had just sort of little tweaks here and there, whether it's the kickoff rule or it's roughing the passer, or this year it's going to be like that little chip that's embedded in the football to mark first downs. Those are all small changes because by and large, they've gotten the competition right week in and week out. What he views in the PGA Tour product, it sounds like, as he laid it out on Wednesday, is a product that is not yet right. Whether there's too many weak events, you know, not enough players, not enough top players are playing together. The times of year, the opposite of field events, the flow with the major championships. He's looking at the product as something that is due for, quote, significant change. He's not looking at little tweaks. He's not looking at little nip and tucks. He's not looking at little incremental changes. He's looking at significant and a tremendous amount of change for the fans.
Well, and again, it was kind of a three bullet points. You touched on them. Parity being the other bullet point. Simplicity being the one that certainly comes into effect this week when you look at the Tour Championship, and we've been doing this for the better part of two decades, and you still can't come up with a formula that makes this make sense. You still can't come up with a formula that works for everyone, including the players, the media, the fans, the media partners, everyone that has a voice in all of this. So that seems to be something that he's going to look at. It's the scarcity that sort of interests me. And look, my colleague Todd Lewis and I came on your show. You were co-hosting Golf Today, and he wanted to lean into it. My reluctance in leading into it is I don't know what it means yet, to be quite honest with you, because if you look at the schedule, and I guess yesterday would have been a great precursor to what we ended up with today, because there's going to be a window from April to early June where in a 6-week stretch, you have five either signature events or major championships, which means there's only going to be essentially one event that would be considered quote unquote full field or open. That to me is a sign. That to me sends a message to the rest of the tour that everything that you've enjoyed up to this point, you may want to consider moving on from that. Because if you look at the way the schedule, if you look at the way the schedule is sort of designed, and I had a player who was outside the top 50 text me yesterday and pointed out that there is in that exact same window, there's four full field events early in the spring for players who aren't inside the top 50. One of those is a Zurich, a team event that really shouldn't count. And the other one is opposite field, which gives you less than half the FedEx Cup points is what you would earn in a signature event. I think the writing is pretty clear on the wall. He didn't want to go into details, but when you talk about scarcity, when you talk about wanting to make the big events bigger, that would be an obvious way to do it and to trim the fat. And you and I have had this fun conversation how many times where I told you if I laid out a blank piece of paper and told you to come up with the best 20 or 25 event schedule. We have 35 on next year's schedule. Give me 20 or 25, and you're going to see something pretty cool, I would argue.
Yeah, and when you look at this formation of the future competition committee, which is going to be chaired by Tiger Woods, there's certainly a smattering.
Does he not play golf anymore at all?
Apparently he's just helping out. He's not the U.S. Ryder Cup captain, I hear, but he has plenty of time for PGA Tour politics, bureaucracy, and potentially shaping what that is going to look like. So you have a Tiger Woods, you have a Patrick Cantlay on there, you have Matt McNeely, you have a Keith Mitchell who didn't even qualify for the playoffs. You have a Camilo Villegas who's at sort of the end of his career, and you also have Rex three independent directors. I think most notably Theo Epstein, who has been credited with revolutionizing baseball and the changes that you've seen over the past couple of years to sort of bring that into the modern era as well. One thing they're clearly going to have to hit, and I completely agree with scarcity, you know, sort of reading the tea leaves and sort of trying to follow along with what he's saying. There are going to be fewer events on the PGA Tour schedule. We don't know how many. We don't know in what order they're going to be. We don't know how many players are going to be, but it's going to be, I think, be of utmost importance that they nail the field sizes if they sort of shift into that model. Right now, you just can't have 72-man signature events 15 to 20 times on the PGA Tour schedule. That's basically just a bloated version of LIV Golf at this point. He still made a point that he wants to have
meritocracy
and making sure people can earn their way into those spots. The PGA Tour has always been trumpeting the fact that they regenerate talent better than any other circuit in the world. And you look at some of the players who were not in the signature events at the start of the year and played their way into career years, whether it was a Maverick McNeely or a Ben Griffin or an Andrew Novak or a Jacob Bridgman. There still has to be players like them who can alter their career trajectories by either playing their way into those tournaments via a secondary circuit or just having access to them sort of writ large as a member of the PGA Tour playing this potentially scarcer schedule.
And the idea, I'm sitting down writing a column right now for golfchannel.com. Yes, golfchannel.com returns, it lives. And the part that sort of stood out to me is I've been amazed how many players, I've probably spoken with a dozen players who have had either in-person conversations with him or who have jumped on a phone call with him. And these aren't just players who were here. This is different. The Tour Championship includes the top 30. These are the top players on the PGA Tour this year. Two of the players that I talked to aren't even here. One of them didn't even make it to the playoffs. And he had a 45-minute conversation over the last few weeks with Brian Rolapp. Rory McIlroy, 90 minutes. Harris English, 45 minutes. Anyone I've stumped, Billy Horschel, is here. He's not playing in the event, but he's here for the Atlanta Drive celebration for winning the TGL title. He had an hours-long conversation with Brian Rolapp. And when I sort of drill down, two things stand out. He is an outsider. He has leaned into the idea he's an outsider. He is not a golf guy. I think he told me at the Travelers Championship when I interviewed him, they didn't hire me to be a golf guy. They hired me to be an innovator. They hired me to be a business guy. They hired me to do media rights deals. That's what I did at the NFL. And he's leaning in to the idea that, look, man, I'm not the guy to fix the Tour Championship. He was asked about the golf ball rollback in the interview today, and he was very clear. Not me, man. That's not a question for me. There's plenty of other people in this room that could answer it right now. So I appreciate he knows what he doesn't know. One of the players I spoke to, though, that has sat in on one of these phone calls pointed out that he's also very good at listening, or at least right now he's very good at listening. A lot of times you get a new leader in a room and they want to be the loudest voice. They want to be the one that's sort of leading the charge and explaining how everything is going to be. Right now, that doesn't seem to be the case, which is an interesting leadership quality for someone that's taking over a sports league like the PGA Tour. The other part is, and a player told me this, he's going to break some eggs, man. Like, before this is all said and done, 2-year scarcity conversation, there's going to be fewer playing cards. There's going to be fewer playing opportunities on the PGA Tour. I think that's obvious. Now, you're right. They got to get the field size right. They got to make sure that the events are being played the right time of year on the right golf courses. But you can come up with a scenario, and again, Todd Lewis wanted to lean into this, where if you took, I don't even want to name an event. Let's take one of the opposite field events, which most people, even on the PGA Tour, will tell you.
Puerto Rico.
What are we doing? Probably shouldn't have opposite field events. And you turn those into really good Corn Ferry Tour events, turn them into Corn Ferry Tour majors. That strengthens both tours. And so I think there's a world where instead of just looking at this as he's putting everything on the chopping block, I think you look at it as how does it make it additive, not just for the PGA Tour, but for the overall product. I'm impressed with at least the first 3 weeks.
I mean, he's clearly direct. He's clearly urgent. He's clearly unafraid. One question that I have, Rex, and you would probably know better than others, is how much power can he actually have? Because the PGA Tour is unique in that these players are shareholders of the entire PGA Tour, right? Brian Rolapp works for the players. And when you look at the composition of the PGA Tour policy board, they're still outnumbered, the players do, than the independent directors. So Brian Rolapp might have a vision for what the PGA Tour should look like, and I'm sure he's going to make that known. But if the players don't sign off on it, or if the committee, the subcommittee is meeting and they don't want to go in that direction, aren't they sort of at an impasse and then we're back to status quo?
Are you just trying to revisit the conversation on Sunday night to try to clean this up because you felt like it kind of left it in a weird spot? Is that what this is about?
Yes. This is a continuation of the dialogue on Sunday night. But obviously the direction is coming from on high, right? It's going to be up to the players then to buy in and sign off on it if they do have the majority of the policy board.
We have touched on this a couple times over the last few weeks. And for those who did not watch the podcast on Sunday night, you and I went a bit round and round with the idea that Brian Rolapp technically does not have the final say. He's on the board of the directors. But as you pointed out, because of events over the last 3 years, in specific about the framework agreement and LIV Golf and everything else that has been impacting the game, that Jay Monahan, the commissioner, essentially gave the players the loudest voice on the PGA Tour policy board. Again, very boring, very in the weeds kind of stuff. However, if you look at it historically, and I will give Tim Fincham credit for this, he had crafted a board that was always on the minority when it came to the players, that he had more independent directors than players on that board by design. Because if he wanted something done, even if the players didn't agree with it, he was going to push it through. Now you have a scenario where that's not the case. And yes, specifically if you have a loud voice like Tiger Woods in the room, it would be different. And I'm not even here to pick on anybody. It would be different if it's Keith Mitchell who doesn't agree with something. That is an entirely different conversation. When you have Tiger Woods standing up and shaking his head is no, that's not the way we're going to go. The way the board is structured now, that yes, Brian Rolapp could very well end up running into a roadblock when it comes to something as dramatic as what you and I just talked about. Let's go to a 2025 event schedule. Let's make the events that we want bigger, better, star powered, driven, media partners are all in. If that doesn't particularly sit with the players on the board, and it may not, it won't get through. So I think that's going to be the vast difference between where he was in his previous world and where he is now. He spoke today about he loves the idea that the players on this tour are owners of this tour. We have equity. Now, these players are vested. That certainly is not the case in the NFL. The divide between labor and the owners in the NFL is a gulf. It's very wide, and more often than not, you end up with disagreements. This is a much different world, and I think that's where the learning curve will be most difficult for him.
Plenty more on Brian Rolapp's introduction to the greater golf world on the Sunday show, the recap show. You also will have a column, Rex, on NBCSports.com/golf, aka golfchannel.com, right after we hang up here. Let's shift gears quickly to the Tour Championship 30-man event. Again, starting strokes is gone. That's been the format since 2019. This is just winner-take-all, 72-hole stroke play. We're not going to get into the format, whether we like it, whether we don't like it, what we would do differently. It does certainly seem like Brian Rolapp is not a huge fan of the current structure of the PGA Tour postseason. He wants greater connectivity.
Scotty Scheffler was pretty clear. I almost sent you this quote about match play. So we circle back around. It's the players who don't want match play here.
Okay. But Brian Rolapp wants greater connectivity from the regular season to the postseason. I'm doing a thing. Just please play along. What are the players saying? What is Scotty Scheffler saying about this week? Because look, Scotty Scheffler was not a fan of the staggered start. He called it silly. He called it gimmicky. Something tells me, though, Rex, if Scotty Scheffler or Rory McIlroy are not the FedEx Cup champion, the Tour Championship winner, and the season-long champion on Sunday night at Eastlake, people are going to be crying about that as well.
And this isn't fair because everyone seems to be picking on Chris Goddard, but seeing how he's in that position, he is the easiest one to go after. And let's be honest, Goddard's a funny name to say when you talk about the season-long champion. So you're always going to have fun with that. But if somehow, some way, and it's not out of the realm of possibility when you just hear Brian Rolapp go speak effusively about this sport, maybe more than other, parity is sort of right in its DNA. That you could make an argument for every player in the field from 1 to 30 who is Chris Goddard. So if he wins this week and you crown him the FedEx Cup champion, there is going to be a lot of double takes, and maybe Scotty Scheffler should be at the front of that line. To call him some sort of season-long champion, of course, would be just a miscarriage of justice, I guess, is a lack of a better term.
A miscarriage of justice?
Well, to be fair, he had a really good July. So I would leave it at that. He had a really good July. He broke out. He did some things that were special. He won the Scottish Open, played really well at the Open Championship. I'm not quite sure that qualifies you to be the season-long champ. So, yes, that's going to create an issue. I think more likely than not, it's going to end up being Scotty Scheffler or someone that's at the top of the leaderboard, because it just seems like those players are in form right now. But, yeah, there's a scenario where we get to Sunday, and I think this is your line more than my line. What are we doing?
Yeah. I mean, what potentially are we doing on Sunday? And look, Scotty Scheffler last year, I believe, shot 20 under on his own ball. Like, he was going to win regardless of whether he had a handicap and had a two-shot advantage over the second place or not. I sort of want to withhold judgment because let's see how it plays out. I can't imagine that it's going to produce a scenario where everyone's like, yes, this is the answer. 72-hole stroke play of the top 30 players in the PGA Tour going head-to-head at Eastlake. That's exactly what we want. It's lacking innovation. It's lacking creativity. It's lacking, to use Brian Rolapp's term, connectivity throughout the entire
and
regular season.
This is a bridge
season.
Year, to be clear. Like, what we have this year, I don't think is the end product.
That's why, like, yes, there's. I'm sure on Sunday night we're going to be talking how ridiculous it is if a Chris Goddard or a Jacob Bridgman.
Stop picking on Chris Goddard.
Or an Akshay Bhatia wins a Tour Championship and then wins the FedEx Cup. I'm sure that is going to be a talking point, but I also don't put much stock into it. To your point, Rex, like, this is a one-off. The format's going to be changing. The entire thing is going to be changing, which, again, is my big takeaway from Wednesday at the Tour Championship. All right, that is going to do it for this edition of the Golf Channel Podcast with Rex and Lav. As a reminder, Rex and I will be together once again on Sunday night for a full recap of the Tour Championship, the entire FedEx Cup season, 52 minutes of power. You guys are the drill. NBCSports.com/golf, aka golfchannel.com, for all of Rex's latest insights, news, notes, columns, and features. Thanks for listening. Thanks for support. We'll talk to you guys on Sunday night.